Revelation 16. First, we will look at the big picture today before looking at the chapter verse by verse next Lord's Day. God's seven bowls of wrath are being poured out on the sinful world. These are the last because in them the wrath of God is finished. As we have read the whole chapter, the judgment of God that we see in this chapter, it is very frightening and terrifying. So much so that someone might ask, how can a loving God pour out such judgment? They might say to you, I thought God is love. Then what is all this judgment about? Yes, God is love. Definitely, Bible says so. But God is also a holy God. God is righteous God. He must punish sins. When we read verse 5 through 7, we hear angels singing. Verse 5, I heard the angel of the water saying, righteous are you who are and who were a holy one, because you judge these things. For they pour out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. And I heard the altar saying, yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. The world just cannot understand such response. When angels see these judgments pouring out, they're praising God that God is righteous in these judgments. The world, sinful world, will never respond that way. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Two words, ungodliness and unrighteousness. Well, ungodliness, it just means there's no fear of God, no acknowledgement of God. They simply do not fear God. They reject Him. And unrighteousness refers to sins that are against one's neighbor. Do you see it then? This is flat out rebellion against God's will for man. Flat out against loving God and loving neighbor. God's wrath is revealed from heaven against such men. And God's judgment reveals in two ways. First way that God judges the world, He leaves them alone in their sin. They sin and they reject God. And God just leaves them alone in that state. Let me read few verses in Romans 1, verse 24. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. God gave them over to their sinful desires. Just let them do what they want to do. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their woman exchanging the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the man abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Man with man committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their terror, their error. Again, God gave them over, leaves them alone in their sinful state and sinful desire. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So this is one way of God's judgment. He just leaves them alone. Let them sin just as they desire. Second way is what we see in our passage in chapter 16. Physical, economical, political disasters, wars, earthquakes, and floods, and diseases, and ultimately total destruction and devastation at the end. So these are two ways that God pours out his judgment. Somebody compares the final judgment as a slaughtering a pig. Before you slaughter a pig, you feed them. Well, feed it, so that that pig will become fatter and fatter. And as he becomes fatter and fatter, he thinks that his life is good. But there is that final day, he's slaughtered. Bible clearly says that non-Christians, when Jesus returns, up until that very moment, they don't get it. They don't understand what is happening. They live as if there is no God. And their life is pretty good, they think. And you see this throughout the redemptive history. You know, Noah's flood. Noah was preaching for 120 years that flood is coming. In today's message, you know, today's language, Jesus is going to come back. These people, they never listened. They even laughed at Noah, saying, you know, after like 60 years of this preaching, that flood is coming. They were laughing at Noah. What flood? What flood? It's been 60 years. Well, think about what would happen in 100 years. They were laughing harder. What are you talking about, Noah? That flood is coming. The judgment is coming. I don't see it. Where is it? And the very moment it came, until that very moment, they were laughing. And that is exactly how it is today. We preach to the whole world that judgment is coming, God is coming, and they're laughing at us. Where? Where is it? Where is he? What judgment? Actually, when they look around, non-believers are doing pretty well. Actually, they're doing better than believers. They're richer, they're healthier. So what judgment are you talking about? Exactly. They will not understand. They will never receive. These judgments of God, are they righteous and holy to you? Or do you think God is unreasonable judging the world this way? What is your response? We already saw holy angels, their response. They praise God for righteous judgment of God. How about you? Well, these judgments are righteous and holy because, let me give you a few reasons. Number one, these judgments are only for non-believers. Verse 2b, these judgments come to the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. So these judgments are not for every man. Only for non-believers. You have to understand, these believers also participate physically in these judgments. When earthquake comes, believers experience the earthquake also, and believers might even die because of that earthquake. But for believers, it's never judgment. Even if he dies, he will go to heaven. It's a God's way of gathering his people. But for non-believers, if he dies in that earthquake, it's final judgment time. See, do you understand? Believer and a non-believer, they experience the same thing, and they might even both die from these judgments, but for one, it's never a judgment. But for the other, it is a judgment. God judges those who live according to the spirit of 666, the people who had the mark of the beast, 666. And we saw this, what this meant. The spirit of 666, this world-centered and man-centered. Their whole focus is about this world and man. They deserve to be judged by God. But you are called for a different life, God-centered and heaven-centered. Completely opposite of those who live according to the spirit of 666. But remember though, the only reason that the Christians are excluded in these judgments is that Jesus Christ has received that judgment of God on the cross in their places. It's not because you're any better than non-Christians. That is not our message. You deserve the judgment also. God is righteous God. He's a holy God. He has to punish sin. He's not like Santa Claus who will just say, oh, you sin? Well, it's okay. I forgive you. No, then he's not righteous God. He has to punish sin. And for Christians, he did punish their sins. He punished Jesus instead. These are righteous and holy judgments of God because, number 2, verse 6, For they pour out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it. It is righteous and holy judgment of God because it is to avenge the blood of saints. The blood of Jesus Christ has been shed. For believers, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks forgiveness, but only for the believers, it speaks forgiveness. These are righteous and holy judgments of God because, number 3, verse 9 and 11, 16, 9 and 11, let me read that to you. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Verse 11, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Yes, these are righteous and holy judgments of God because they're judged for only one reason, that they do not repent of their sins. They don't acknowledge that they're sinners, and they don't repent. Do you know that only reason for excommunication in the church is what? It's because that person does not repent. It really doesn't matter. Well, I shouldn't say it doesn't matter. It matters. But to make a point, it really doesn't matter what you have done. Even if you killed a man, God still forgives you. Only reason for excommunication is non-repentance. If you do not repent of your sins. And only reason these people are judged by God is that because they are not repenting of their sins. They're actually saying to God, God, you are at fault for judging me, because I never sinned. Well, first of all, they don't even believe that there is God, but they're making God a liar. They don't repent. Psalm 103, verse 8, let me read that to you. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise to come back, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So these people who mock us, where is Jesus? Where, you know, he said he's coming, but where is he? Well, his coming is slow, in quotes, because it long suffering of God. He's waiting for people to repent. Do you remember in the Old Testament when Pharaoh refused God's people to go out? What happened? God brought 10 plagues. God judged the Egypt. But Pharaoh never repented. He does not repent of his sins to the end. Rather than repenting of his sins as he sees God's judgment, Pharaoh continued to harden his heart. So this is what happens. You see judgment of God pouring. Person who received grace will repent. Person who does not receive grace, he will actually harden his heart. He becomes hardened. And that's what we see in Pharaoh. How about you? How about me? We see judgments of God. But we see the ultimate judgment of God on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it on the cross? When Jesus dies on the cross, you see the final judgment of God on the cross. That is the final judgment that you and I truly deserve. When we see that judgment, we repent of our sins. We continue to repent. Sinners. And this, you have to clearly understand. They sin not because their environment is bad. You know, that's a worldly explanation. You know, why a person do bad things? Well, his childhood was bad. You know, his environment is bad. So all you have to do is change the environment and he will be okay. Bible disagrees. If you really look at it, the very first sin, it was committed by Adam and Eve in paradise. It wasn't the problem of environment. It was a perfect environment, and yet they sinned. Jesus told us that problem of sin is not about environment, but it's about our heart. It's inside, not outside. That's world's solution. It never works. And sinners, they don't just sin because they do not know God. But they hate everything about God, everything that God stands for. It's not that they're neutral to God. Well, they will tell you they are neutral. But if you tell them exactly what God stands for, what His will is, they hate it. They hate everything about God. Bible portrays them, even in hell, they will continue to hate God. With gnashing of their teeth, they will hate Him. So I don't care how much they say they're neutral. No, they're not neutral. They hate the ideas that comes from God. They hate it. Hate with passion. They will never live according to what God has commanded. Never. Even if it means for him or her to go to hell, they will still not do it. These are righteous and holy judgments of God, number four. Because they are, these judgments are God's righteous and holy judgments, because God cannot cancel His law. The laws are the reflection of His holiness and righteousness. God must punish sin. So don't ever think God is like Santa Claus who will say to you, oh, ho, 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 you sin, but I forgive you, you know, I'm a jolly kind of guy, I forgive you. No, that is not a holy God. Holy God must punish sin. I mean, think about it. If you kill the man and judge says to you, oh, you killed the man. All right, I forgive you. It's okay. Then he's not a righteous judge. He must punish sin. And he will. And he does. And yes, the true church is protected from this wrath of God. But we must consider the Old Testament church. They have forsaken the truth. They were the apostate church. It is the same today. We must be faithful to God's word. We must believe. Otherwise, we do not have the confidence. Just because you call yourself a church of God doesn't mean you are really protected if you are not faithful to the word of God and if you don't believe. Do you remember the two ways of God's judgment? Many times God will leave that apostate church alone. He will just leave it alone. Let him get fatter and fatter and fatter until the last judgment. Here we see seven bowls. Some have translated the word as vials or cups because we already saw this phrase, right? The cup of God's wrath. But 15:7, then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. So here, what do we see? One of the four living creatures giving seven golden bowls. Now, we saw these golden bowls before. Go to chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 5, verse 8. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures, here again, four living creatures, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and what? Golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The golden bowls. In chapter 5, verse 8, the golden bowls were filled up with the prayers of saints. But in chapter 15, those golden bowls are now filled with the wrath of God. Now, what are we looking at here? If you remember what happened when seven seals of judgment was being poured out and seven trumpets of judgment was being poured out. We have seen this already, but seven seals judgment and seven trumpets of judgment, they were all poured out by God in response to the prayers of the saints. Do you remember? So before the seven seals of judgment, we see the heavens picture, and there prayers of saints are offered up to God. And same thing happens before the seven trumpets of judgments. And this is my final and important point, but before we get to that, when we see here, chapter 5, verse 8, we see four living creatures and 24 elders, and they have these golden bowls filled with incense, but incense is the prayers of saints. So what are we looking at? We saw this already, right? 24 elders, they represent the church. And they're sitting on the thrones, meaning that they are the kings of God. Four living creatures are also representing the church, but the church in her office of the prophet. preaching the word of God. Thus, the church is shown to be the prophet and the king. So what are they doing? Church is doing what? Preaching and praying and ruling. I should say ruling. So preaching and ruling, pastor and elders. But in general offices, all of us are God's prophets and kings. Now here we see that pastors and elders are the ones who pray. They have the golden bowls that is filled up with prayers of saints. If the pastors and the elders do not pray, then they betray their offices. And in heaven, all of us are God's prophets and kings, thus we must pray. And our prayers are the cause of God's judgment being poured out on this sinful world. And I want you to get this point. These judgments that God pours out is his response to the prayers of saints. Do you remember the seven seals of judgment? People are crying out to God, how long? And in response to their prayer, God pours out these judgments. And we saw the same thing when the seven trumpets of judgments were being poured out. Well, seven bowls of judgments are the same way. Do you remember the seven trumpets of judgment? Trumpets. Trumpets are sounding. One angel blows a trumpet. When trumpet is sounding, then the judgment is poured out. And we saw that that trumpet sound is warning from God. And the trumpet sound is the preaching of the word. So the church blows out trumpets. It sounded the trumpet every time it teaches and preaches the word of God. Warning to the world. But they never listen. And God's judgment is being poured out even today. So, let's put these things all together. Our prayers is the cause of these judgments pouring down. Now, you might, you might not be able to fully grasp what we're saying, but just listen very carefully. The judgment of God is being poured out on this sinful world as the result of our prayers and our preaching of God's word. Trumpet shows our preaching, but we already saw in chapter 5 and chapter 8 that it is response, God's response to our prayer. Old Testament salvation. Do you remember Exodus? Let me read to you Exodus chapter 2. Verse 23 to 25. Exodus chapter 2, verses 23. Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the sons of Israel, and God took notice of them. Chapter 3, verse 9. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come up to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So do you see the same pattern? Even in the Old Testament, the typological salvation, first thing was what? God's people crying out to God. They pray to God. Then what happens? 10 plagues come. So you could say that 10 plagues, even though it is God who is pouring out, that it is God's response to the prayers of his people. Same thing. The true salvation has the same pattern. So judgments of bowls, they are poured out because of our prayers. Thus, it reminds us the priest being poured out, these judgments of bowl, they're being poured out. It reminds us the priest pouring out the blood of the animal in the temple. And in chapter 15, the scene is a heavenly temple. And here, angels, they're wearing priestly garment and they're pouring out these bowls. So it reminds us of priests pouring out the blood of animal in the temple. Now the blood is not the blood of the animal, but Jesus' perfect blood. And also in him, the blood of his martyrs. So not only Jesus' blood is shed, but his martyrs, their blood is also poured out. Chapter Revelation 17, verse 6, let me just read that to you. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. The blood being poured out. When you hear blood being poured out on the ground or on the altar, what do you think of? Well, you could think of many things, but one of them will be what? Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, when Cain kills Abel, and God comes to Cain, what does he say? Chapter 4 of Genesis, verse 10. God said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Do you see it? The saints' blood, their blood cry out the revenge. And when the blood of the saints cry out the revenge, it is not just coming out from anger. The saints, they want the vindication of Jesus Christ. They desire the vindication of the truth and the righteousness of their Lord Jesus Christ. Even as we die as martyrs of God, we pray to God to forgive their sins. And when you are dying in this world because of your faith, you cry out to God to forgive their sins. And it will result in two things, either their salvation or their judgment. Do you see it? When you pray to God, forgive their sins, either God accepts that, and that prayer results in his salvation, or the person never repent to God, and that prayer actually result in his judgment. In chapter 16, seven bowls of judgment of God, do you understand that it is our present reality? Our prayers bring these judgments. If you pray according to God's will, your prayers are what brings these judgments upon this world. Hallowed be thy name, you pray. Thy kingdom come, you pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now ask yourself, when will all these things perfectly and completely consummate? Hallowed be thy name. When it will be completely and perfectly consummate? Thy kingdom come. When will it be perfectly and completely consummate? Do you see it? At the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, all these things that you are praying for will be perfectly and completely consummate. When you seek thy kingdom come, what do you think you're praying for? These prayers are the same as come Lord quickly. When you say thy kingdom come, you are saying, come Lord, quickly. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? If you pray according to God's will, then all of your prayers are for Jesus' second coming. Everything that you pray according to God's will is all connected with Jesus' second coming, because it is then and then only all of your prayer will be completely and perfectly fulfilled. Spiritually, it is already fulfilled, yes, but even visibly, it will be fulfilled. Yes, every time you pray, you're praying for the perfect, ultimate judgment of God come pour out to this world, because you're praying for that day when Jesus comes back to judge the world. We are praying for His perfect salvation, but at the same time, we're praying for His perfect judgment. Do you see how praying for living well and living healthy just does not fit? It just doesn't fit. And let me just make things clear. I'm not saying that we should live poor. No. What's wrong with being rich? I mean, there's nothing wrong with being rich. No, what I'm saying is that it really doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor. That is not the issue. That is not the point. That's what we're saying. So if God gives you a lot, then be happy. But if God gives you little, then be happy. Because those things are not our concern. Because when you pray, you're praying your deepest desire to God. And God says, pray this way, and He gave us Lord's Prayer. And in Lord's Prayer, you're not asking for anything of this world. Go back and really read the Lord's Prayer and see what you are really asking. We're asking for His kingdom to come. We're asking that His will be done. And His will is that our eternal heaven will be consummated. So think before you pray. Do you understand the earthquakes and flood and tsunamis, diseases? They are the result of your prayers. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because in order for God to truly answer your prayer perfectly, all these things have to come first. Until that ultimate judgment of God that Jesus will bring when He comes. Do you see the awesome power in God's judgment over this sinful world? Even one earthquake, do you feel the power there? But let me ask you, what brings His judgment, that kind of judgment, to this world? Things that are, according to the world, weak and foolish. You know what brings that kind of power to this world? Prayers, preaching the word, and martyrdom. You dying for Christ. We just saw this. You saints' prayer is offered up to God, then the judgment comes. Trumpet is sounded, the word is preached, then the judgment comes. And it is to avenge martyrs' blood. When people, God's people, die for Christ, cry out, How long? Very weak and foolish things to the world. I mean, you know, world doesn't think much of prayer. Preaching the word, nobody listens. Martyrdom, that is a sign of weakness, man. Why do you have to die? But do you see it? These weak things, these foolish things, they are the ones who bring, which bring the judgment of God to this world. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you see your heavenly reality? You and I are the kings of God. And in Jesus Christ, we rule the world. We reign with God. We judge the world. Do you see it even as you pray? Even as we preach the word of God? Even as we die for our Lord Jesus Christ? We judge the world. Judgment of God comes to the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2a says, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Do you know, brothers and sisters? Do you know that the judgments of God that you see all around the world in history are the result of your prayers? Do you see it? Even in your state, which world thinks nothing of. I mean, who are you in this world? Nobody. You go to your school, who are you? Nobody. You go to your jobs, who are you? Nobody. I mean, if you really think about it. But I want you to see your heavenly reality. Even as you weak people, you foolish people, when you pray, you are judging the world. You are ruling. You are reigning with Christ because you are the kings of God. Now, what we just said, the content of this preaching today is utterly ridiculous to the world. It's laughable to the world. What are we talking about? We pray and we're judging the world. But I pray to God that you will have faith. That you will understand what God is telling you. That you will believe. Yes, pray hard. Pray very hard and let us preach God's word. And let us die for our Lord. Because these things will bring judgment upon the world. But at the same time, it will bring the perfect salvation of His people. Do you see what is going on today? Do you see how you are a part of what is going on? How God rules this world? Pray hard, brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace upon us. Oh Father, we thank you that you have made us kings of heaven. That even as we pray in Christ, we are ruling, we are reigning with Him. We're judging the world. Oh Father. Let us see clearly our heavenly reality. Let us see how we are part of this amazing work of God, bringing perfect salvation, but at the same time, perfect judgment. Oh Father, let us continue to remember, even as we see your judgment coming pour out upon this world, let us remember how we are standing on the glassy sea, holding the harps of God and praising you and worshiping you now and forever. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.